Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to hour number two, Fans in the Pro. Coming up at 5:20, we'll have Chris Gordy locked on the SEC as we'll look a little deeper at the Ole Miss Rebels and LSU both 4-0. Here is your Ryder Cup roundup. Not looking good right now. Right now it's 5-2 Europe. There is still one match on the course. Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry tied with Sam Burns and Patrick Cantlay. They've got one hole left. This morning it was 3-1 Europe in foursomes. That's the alternate shot. And then the best ball this afternoon. Right now it is 2-1 again with one match there. Say, hey, dude, we're going to be in New York, right? We're the Bethpage Black, New York. We're in New York. We could just zip down, right?
We could.
It's 7 hours. But 500 miles.
I thought we were going to helicopter, Uber.
Oh, well, the president send his helicopter up. Uber helicopter?
They have them up there. They have the Uber helicopters up there.
Now you're talking. That man.
We could probably, you know what? We could probably expense it. You know, we're working. We're going to cover. You know, hey, it's a thought.
As long as we keep the lunches and dinners down.
Uber helicopter.
But I don't know
if we're going to get reimbursed. But you know, it's a thought.
We'll see. They're falling behind early. They do not play well in foursomes early. Where I don't care where it is, and they fall behind. But we'll see how things go. If they can, that final match will be important as they head into Saturday. Don't want to get too behind before you get to singles on Sunday. I want to take to the phone lines, Carl in Hammond. Carl, welcome. You're on with Mike Haas and Deuce McAllister. What you got for us this afternoon?
Hey, guys. Well, I want to, you know, speak up. I'm probably the only fan in Louisiana that's still for Chris Olave. But I want to talk to Deuce X and O's because he's a strategist. Bobby Hebert talks Chris Olave is, you know, not getting it done. But comparing him to Jackson Smith and Jigba, how is he going to get his yardage up if we're not going downfield? We got small receivers. Even Rasheed is not getting a lot of deep patterns. You got to just let these guys go. You got to run go routes. And even if you don't complete them, you're making that defense respect that, which loosens it up, which could be better for AK.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, you know, you can throw a number of deep balls a quarter and or in a half, but like you said, at some point you're going to have to connect on them. They did attempt some more than they did, you know, and particularly week one. Week two, there was an opportunity, but here's the thing as well. When you're down 14 or 21 early, how tight do you think those safeties are going to play? They're not going to play very tight because they are not going to get beat over the top. And so there are some opportunities for the Saints to stretch the field. You've got to be able to connect on them. You know, and I am of the neighborhood of, hey, every two drives I want to take at least one shot. But you've got to be able to get at least one first down, because if you're taking a shot now, if it's not complete, I only got two plays before I have to either punt or we continue to drive, and that's to be able to move the football. But I am from the neighborhood. Hey, every two drives, I want to take a shot, and I think we're on the same page. My shot, as far as down the field, is at least 20 plus yards down the field. I understand you're saying just run a go route, but what percentage of that go route is actually going to be completed. It's one thing to throw a go route and it's a back shoulder where it's a plus 15, plus 20. You know, that's still a nice route. I still am able to move the corner as far as his depth. He is not going to play and sit on the sticks as much. And I think that's one of the things that you have to be able to do. The other part about Chris, I think, and I can't speak for Bobby. Obviously, Bobby is going to speak for himself and he's going to tell you a couple times how he truly feels. But I think Bobby's disdain for Chris right now has to relate to yak yardage and, you know, being able to make maybe the contested catch. That's one of the things. And you talk to Chris, he'll tell you, hey, look, I have to be able to make some of the throws or catches, even if the ball is not exactly where I want to. I've got to be able to come up with the football. The other thing is, yes, I have to be able to get yak yardage. You know, you go back and you look at the numbers, and it was a great number as far as catches, but not great as far as yards. And so some of that is because of how they're going to play him. And the other part of it is, you know, the ball has to be in the right place for me to catch it and continue to run. And, you know, for me, I've got to make a guy miss. I've got to break a tackle. So it's a combination of different things. But you're not going to go deep too often if you are not converting on first and second down and or third down and possessing the football, or you're not connecting on some of those throws. And the one guy that did have a deep route on the first drive was Alvin Kamara. Now, I'm intrigued because going back and looking at that play, that was the 4th-and-2 throw. I'm intrigued because I don't know if the route is a wheel route, because it doesn't have the wheel sail, so to speak, by the back. The route looked like, to me, an option route or a choice route where you have, you know, I can take it up, I can break out, I can break left, or I can sit. And the quarterback and Alvin, you know, Spencer and Alvin, they just were not on the same page, because you could tell by the body language or where the ball was kind of placed. If you go back and listen to Coach Moore, he talks about the scramble drill,
right,
where guys have to be on the same page or they have to get that more. So whether it was designed or not, that's a huge play. Maybe changes how the game unfolds. Maybe not changes the game, but changes how it unfolds if you can convert on that play.
Thanks for the phone call, Carl. And you're right about Chris Olave. He's got a career high 10 receptions, 8 in the first half last week. So far, 23 receptions, 4th best in the NFL. His yak yardage, 2.1, is the lowest in his career. So hopefully that'll change. Take a break. We'll talk LSU and Ole Miss with Chris Gordy after the break here on Fans and the Pro. Mike Austin, Deuce McAllister, WWLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers, the celebrity guests? Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister on Fans of the Pro here till 6 o'clock when you'll listen to the Brian Kelly Show from yesterday. Then at 7 o'clock, it's the Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup. And he's been a good friend of the show, and we're happy to talk to him again. And that's Chris Gordy, at Chris Gordy, locked on the SEC host, sideline reporter. How you doing, Chris?
What's going on, fellas? Good to be on.
Yeah, man, we appreciate it. It's another big one tomorrow. LSU 4-0, Ole Miss 4-0. A few, you know, probably not as expected. Trinidad Chambliss at quarterback. Talk about what he can do offensively, certainly with the win over Arkansas and Tulane. And you've seen the ability for him to run the ball and be elusive as a quarterback that maybe not as much as Austin Simmons. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, he's done it both for them, you know, running and throwing, and he's been really good at it too. I mean, his accuracy has been really, really good, and it's been a pleasant surprise. And I've had a few folks in Oxford kind of tell me that they think the offense actually run even smoother with him at quarterback over Austin Simmons, and that's saying a lot because Austin Simmons was the guy that was at the Manning Passing Academy and was one of their captain leaders at you know, SEC Media Days. So. You know, obviously this kid's super talented, but, you know, he's going to see his toughest test he's seen yet. I mean, Arkansas, I think you could argue, is one of, if not the worst defense in the SEC so far. And, you know, Tulane didn't really put up a fight against them, but at the end of the day, it's Tulane. They're a group of five team. They're not an SEC defense. So, I think LSU's defense looking through the first few weeks, like it's their best defense they've had in over a decade. This is certainly going to be, good on good, and we'll see how he responds. I've had some people tell me this week, oh, you know, is LSU going to let a Ferris State quarterback beat them? Well, you know, you look at it, I mean, he won championships at the FCS level. It's not like he was just some guy playing down at Ferris State. He was really, really good. And now at Ole Miss, he's turned into a player. So, yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what kind of plan Blake Baker has for him because, as we know, running quarterbacks is what hurt LSU last year. But certainly they look through the first few weeks to be much improved in that area.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that he probably has over Simmons, even if it's at Ferris State, he is an older quarterback. He has kind of been there, done that, and not too many looks he's going to see that he hadn't seen already. And I think that's the one thing that Austin, you know, he doesn't have the playing experience on that college level. And that's probably what was frustrating because he's immensely talented from a quarterback standpoint, but you know, he just hadn't played. And I think that's when you talk about the offense running smoother, you know, they're able to run a lot more up tempo and, you know, his ability to be able to say, hey, I'm going to tuck it. Or when, it is a read option game or quarterback run, you know, he's done it and he's familiar with it. And I think that's what's going to be the most intriguing piece of it. You know, Chris, I got to ask you, you know, just to match up when you talk about in the trenches of both of these teams, how do you think who has kind of the best unit and how do you think that all unfolds?
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. Look, LSU's offensive line, I think they've done some things to kind of hide them not being very good. You know, obviously getting rid of the ball very quickly like they did week one against Clemson, still sticking with the running game even when it hasn't been working in recent weeks. You know, you got to keep the defense honest. But we saw it last, you know, against Louisiana Tech 2 weeks ago. I mean, when LSU dropped back and they were, it was a predictable passing down, you know, Louisiana Tech and even a couple of times the Southeastern last week, they were getting that penetration. And so, you know, I'll say this, I think Ole Miss has, you know, they're still kind of working out the kinks on their defensive line, waiting for somebody to emerge. We know how good Centarian Perkins is at linebacker, but, you know, as far as defensive line, look, if this were Ole Miss's defensive line from last year, I'd be petrified right now if I'm LSU because that line that was led by Walter Nolan and Princely Amon Mielen, I mean, all those guys are in the NFL now. So, it was a much better D-line last year. It's a talented D-line. They're just unproven so far. So you're looking to see what bunch of those guys steps up for Ole Miss. But, again, I think that's good news for LSU that they haven't had really a record yet on that defensive line for Ole Miss. And while LSU still works out all the kinks on their offensive line. But there's no doubt when it's a predictable passing down, they're gonna want to get after it. And, you know, watch for that you know, Garrett Nussmeier being out there on an island, you know, with somebody bearing down on his face, he's going to have to either take the sack or make the right throw. And, you know, God forbid, don't throw an interception because this whole thing could come crashing down for him.
Do you expect Caden Durham tomorrow?
You know, earlier in the week, I would say no. I mean, I thought everything we heard was that he was doubtful and then questionable, doubtful. And, you know, then yesterday some of the reports came out that they think he's going to be a go. So, you know, I think it'd probably be a game time decision type thing. But, you know, the reality is, you know, if we're being real, for those who watched the film against Southeastern, I mean, I thought Juwan Johnson ran a little bit maybe not harder, but more convicted in choosing his running lanes. And you know, Deuce can speak more to that, obviously. But Caden Durham just seems a little bit hesitant. And then at times, you know, choosing the wrong hole or the wrong direction. So he's been okay. It's just, you know, we just saw that explosiveness from him last year. When he gets out of that open space, man, he's a bulldozer. You know, we're still waiting to see that a little bit from this version of Caden Durham. But like I said, I think a lot of that's been on this offensive line and not fully trusting them yet. But, you know, if I had to guess if I was a betting man, I think he goes tomorrow. But, you know, again, it's kind of a wait and see.
Yeah, and Chris, that's what I was just going to comment on. You know, if I do have a new offensive line up there, and I have to have confidence in him. And, you know, right now that's what it sounds like from Durham's standpoint. He doesn't have confidence in, hey, that backside block, that backside cutoff is going to be there. You know, I've run this play two times, three times already, and they haven't made it. And so from not just from a hesitation standpoint, but maybe sometimes already predetermining where I'm going with the football based off the initial look, and it's not necessarily there. And it's like, man, you know, what's going on with Durham? And I think that's part of it.
Yeah, and he's a great back. I mean, I remember watching him in high school, and you know, he was a kid that, you know, on decision day, they didn't know if he was going to pick LSU. When he picked LSU, it was like, oh, this is going to be great. You got him and then Harlan Berry coming in. I mean, they've got talented backs. Talent is not the question. But, yeah, it's just about this offensive line, how quickly they mature. And, again, you can only learn, you know, this job is on-the-job training. You can't learn on the practice field how to be a good offensive lineman. You got to go do it. And, you know, they may take some growing pains this Saturday. But to me, guys, the key of the game is what LSU does with the ball in their hands of their offense, because I feel pretty good about LSU's defense getting some stops, getting to cover these wide receivers one-on-one. I mean, look, Ole Miss just cranks them out. Every year they bring in a new group of three, and it just feels like, man, where do they find these guys? And, you know, whether it's Dazon Stripling or Harrison Wallace, they've had some nice guys come in. But, you know, Mansoor Delane, I expect him to cover these guys one-on-one and do a good job. But, you know, if they get a three and out and they get the ball back, it's up to LSU's offense to go do something with it. So that's going to be the challenge, I think, on Saturday, is does LSU execute? And by the way, I think they need touchdowns. I think settling for field goals is not going to be a good decision for LSU. They need six whenever they can.
And especially from their wide receiver position, Aaron Anderson and Berrien Brown, who've caught passes, you know, 6, 8, 4, 3, you know, for Anderson, you know, and 5, 8, 2, 5 for Berrien, but just one touchdown. You talk about field goals and, you know, touchdowns. I mean, those guys have, and for Aaron, his numbers are really coming back. Now, it's hard to say when you're playing Louisiana Tech and Southeastern, but, man, does Ole Miss have the kind of cover skills for an Aaron Anderson and a Berrien Brown?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what we're going to find out. You know, a lot's been made of Sage Ryan and the narrative of, you know, how poor LSU secondary was the last couple of years with him back there, and now he's, you know, one of the starting safeties for Ole Miss. But, you know, I'm curious to see on the corners. Antonio Kite is a guy who's played, you know, a good bit of college football, and Jalen Braxton as well. So, you know, we'll see who ends up covering who. But, you know, I'll say this. I think, you know, that they have a good DC in Pete Golding. I think overall he's really good. It's a much different group than what he had a year ago. Last year they went and spent a ton of money in the portal, and they went and got NFL talent up and down that roster on the NFL, on the defensive side. I mean, I was just watching Trey Amos playing the game the other night in the NFL. You know, they need to these guys are still kind of learning a little bit, and they're trying to see who are going to be their trustworthy guys. And so, yeah, I think this is one. You know, I talked to a buddy of mine who spoke with Chris Hilton at SEC Media Day. He said, which game are you looking forward to most? He said, Ole Miss. So, you know, it's kind of fortuitous. Chris Hilton sitting here with 3 catches for 20 yards on the season. Wouldn't shock me at all if he has a breakout game. But as you guys know, to push the ball down the field and have big explosive plays, you got to have that protection up front. And if Nuss doesn't have that time, well, again, this might be another week where I don't know if the explosive plays will be there.
You have had the best seat, or one of the best seats in the house, the last 2 years. Has there been anything more entertaining than 55-49 and 29-26 the last 2 years when these two teams have met?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, you know, Lane loves to tell people get their popcorn ready. I mean, this is one that, you know, again, depending on how good LSU's defense is, you know, could be another bit of a shootout. We'll see. But, you know, look, for LSU to have the offense that they had last time they went to Oxford with Jaden Daniels, the Heisman Trophy winner, still lose the game, I mean, that's just – I think that sticks in Brian Kelly's craw. And, you know, like I said, Blake Baker's done a much better job with this defensive unit this year. And nothing would sweeten the hearts of LSU fans more than to go get a win in Oxford and beat Lane Kiffin.
Well, Chris, I got to ask you, what are you having for dinner tonight? Or where, one, where are you staying at? Are you in Tupelo, or where are you staying at?
Yeah, you know what? We decided not to make the trip this week because we're heading to Oxford in a couple weeks from now. So we didn't make the trip this week, but plenty of great spots around there, Deuce. I would have hit you up if I was there looking for a recommended spot.
Well, I definitely understand that, and no worries at all. We got to chat offline about it.
Sounds good, man.
Well, appreciate your time. It's a big one, man. I mean, 4-0, both teams, yet they're kind of still some questions that go with those 4-0 records. Chris Gordy at Chris Gordy, thanks for your time. Have a great one, and we appreciate you joining Fans in the Pro.
Anytime, guys. Appreciate it.
Take a break. Before we do, let me remind you that high school football fans, get ready. It's week 4 of our Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup. Join Ian Ozan, Coach Lou Valden tonight and every Friday night at 7 o'clock for the most comprehensive high school football show in America. We'll be broadcasting live from the Shrine as John Curtis and Archbishop Rummel open Catholic League play. That's tomorrow night. Plus, we'll have prep reporters stationed at key games throughout tonight. Mandeville at Slidell, Brother Martin at Jesuit, L'Oranger at Kentwood, Covington and North Shore. Get ready for Friday Night Lights. Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup presented by Acadian Companies and Dr. Pepper tonight from 7 to 10:30 right here only on WWL. Take a break. Back after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Fans in the Pro. Mike Austin, Deuce McAllister with you until 6 o'clock in the Brian Kelly Show. They are done for the day at Bethpage Black. Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry tied Sam Burns and Patrick Cantlay. So it's 5.5 Europe, 2.5 United States heading into Saturday. So a bit of a comeback needed there. Also, we talked about LSU. I want to run through the schedule quickly so everybody knows what's going on. Tulane will be at Tulsa. Charlie's Cajuns will be hosting Marshall. That's tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at Our Lady of Lourdes Stadium in Lafayette. Nicholls State is at Eastern Kentucky at 5 o'clock. Jackson State at Southern at 6 o'clock. Northwestern State is off. McNeese State against Stephen F. Austin at 7. And Grambling State is at Prairie View. And I save the, not the best, but just the most to talk about. Southeastern played LSU last week, lost 56-10. This week, they're hosting University of Texas, Rio Grande Valley. I don't know much about them. Did you know much about them?
University of Texas, Rio Grande Valley.
UTRGV. So, they're 4-0. I was like, all right, well, I'm not familiar.
I am not familiar with your game, well, Rio Grande Valley.
You're about to hear something about them. They won their first game 66-0.
Okay.
Then they played Prairie View, much better team. They won 27-21. And then they beat Langston 80-0.
Yeah, Langston is.
Then they beat Texas Wesleyan 61-13. So they have scored 66, 80, 61, and 27.
But I'm wondering, are those FCS or NAIA schools?
I don't know. Prairie View's FCS. Langston, Texas Wesleyan, I believe, is FCS, but you're right. I don't even know Saul Ross. I never even heard of it. I don't even know what that is. Wow.
That is probably, if I had to guess, they probably have not been playing at that level.
So they have to blend their way in?
That's what I'm assuming, yeah. But I have not done a lot of research, to be honest.
What, did you?
Yeah, I have not done a lot of research on them to give you a lot of facts about them, and even the school, you know, to know from an enrollment standpoint what they look like. I couldn't tell you.
Same way. I had to look it up. I was like, UTRGV.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. So when you talk about some of the matchups in Louisiana, Jackson State and Southern, that game's in Southern.
Yep.
That is one where it's a rivalry. You know, pretty much like your Southern Grambling that's here in New Orleans, the Bayou Classic. But that game should be a pretty good game. You know, I hadn't followed either team closely. You know, I see, you know, when they're playing, you know, hey, what's going on? But that one should be a pretty good one. We know about the LSU Ole Miss matchup. The other one that you mentioned, Tulane, Tulsa. Yeah,
Tulsa.
At
tough
Tulsa.
Place, tough place.
Tough place to play because, you know, it's almost like, hey, do you fly into, Oklahoma City, you know, and then and bus over? And I know Tesla. I know they sent, I'm a man, I'm 40, Oklahoma State.
Stillwater?
Yeah, no. They sent Coach Gundy. They were the reason that Oklahoma State got rid of Coach Gundy because he lost to Tulsa.
To Tulsa.
And so I don't know if they will still be flying high, that being Tulsa, after that victory. And Tulane wants to get a little get back from their loss last week. But it'll be intriguing. That's a game. It's a tough place to play, but that's a game that Tulane should win.
Yeah. It's just tough. I mean, Tulane with that big win over Northwestern, then South Alabama. Duke was probably closer than they anticipated because they had such a lead early.
Well, you had their quarterback coming back, and so that's an emotional tape. That's an emotional game.
So as we look to Sunday, there aren't many categories where you can say that the Saints can
favorites.
Or even can understand what Buffalo is going through.
I'm not talking about the whole game.
Right.
I'm just talking about when you line up from a positional standpoint.
Right.
Is it quarterback? Is it running back? Is it receiver? Is it tight end? When you line the positions up, which one would you say, yep, I would give the Saints a favorite here across the board?
Only because they're without Milano and Ed Oliver, maybe offensive line versus their defensive.
Defensive line.
Right.
So when you look at this matchup, you say, okay, how do the Saints win? And we talked to Steve earlier. They want to get in the shootout. So the first question becomes, can the Saints put up enough points? Can the Saints put up enough points?
You don't want to get into a track meet, though. You got to try to avoid it, right?
Well, you don't want one, but you know – offensively, if I play fast, then my offense has played better. When things have slowed down, it's kind of bogged down for them as well. But when you talk about getting into a track meet, if my defense can create 2, possibly 3 turnovers, then that may swing it enough for you. Now, the Saints don't have to be perfect, but they have to be very good. They don't have to be perfect.
But
you have to be very good. And one of the things that I think that we will see from this team is to go out and prove that they are a lot better team than what we saw last week. Because what you put on film and what you showed last week, it's almost like, man, I got to look at myself. As a player, I got to really look at myself because I know I'm better than that. I'm not even talking about from a team standpoint. Because the first thing people ask is, all right, how do you get the team better? Well, first, if you're going to be honest, what am I doing? Am I doing everything that I'm supposed to do and everything that I can do? And then if that's the case, if the answer is yes, then you go to, okay, what does my team need me to do? And that's where it's almost like, yeah, coach can help you. But if you're not checking yourself, then you're not helping the team.
Three areas. Penalties. Saints average 10.3 a game. Buffalo, 4.6. The Saints have not scored a point in the first quarter. They've given up 30. So it's an uphill climb every week. And I think this will be key because Steve Tasker talked about this as well, that Buffalo cannot get off the field on third down. Well, Buffalo is 16 of 37 on third down defensively, and the Saints are 17 of 37.
But the Saints defense hadn't been able to get off the field on third down. They did a little bit better, but I mean, it's almost like both defenses, once you get them in third and long, particularly for the Saints, you get them in third and long, it's like, all right, how do you want this? Do you want it on the ground? Do you want it in the air? You know, can we come away with a stop? And I know that you can do it because you play well on first and second down. It's not that you rotate everybody out and you have this special group that you're putting in on third down that is causing the problems. Yeah, you probably have minimized how much that you're subbing to get into certain packages because I've played well. You know, obviously, if it's a passing down, I'm not going to leave my base look out there, but I'm interested. Steve talked about Buffalo being comfortable in 13 personnel. Well, 13 personnel is a heavy personnel. Yep. 13 personnel means that you have three tight ends, one receiver, and one back.
Yep.
Normally when the Saints, and we saw this last week, when they saw that look, the Saints go five down. And what I mean by that, they truly have five defensive linemen in the game. Now, what you've had is Carl Granderson and Cam Jordan having to drop into coverage, and they've done a pretty good job of it, but now you're going to be asking them to cover tight ends and or backs, a back, when they do that, because Buffalo is fine playing in that type of look. The Saints last week did not go a lot of nickel based off of 12 personnel. Saints stayed in their base defense, which has been two linebackers and a five down look. Now, they can go with another linebacker on the field, a true linebacker and not a defensive end. And, you know, we'll see if that's how they try to win a matchup against the Bills. But I'm intrigued to see the cat and mouse game.
Right. Could be a lot of it. I mean, at 13 personnel, bro, they throw out of it as much as they run.
But that's my point. And so if you're going to go heavy for the Saints, that's a run look for me. Now you're going to ask your drop defensive ends to have to drop and cover a tight end or a back, depending on how you match it.
It's going to be interesting. Sunday at noon, week four. Take a break. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. This is Fans of the Pro, WWLAMFM.com. Always free in the Odyssey app. Welcome back. I want to have a little shout out to the Magazine Pizza Group for feeding our Saints game day crew. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine, dine-in or delivery, the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. MagazinePizza.com. My thanks to the phone number who ends in 2611 in my college roundup. Had one of the pages missing. Louisiana Tech will be at UTEP. So go Bulldogs. Get that victory. Big weekend, high school football. LSU and Tulane tomorrow, Saints, tough one in Buffalo on Sunday. And then they're home for two games. So, surprise, surprise, things can happen. Who knows? Thanks to Charlie Long in the booth. The Brian Kelly Show is coming up next, and it's the Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great Friday, and we'll start and listen for you. LSU tomorrow and Saints on Sunday. Have a good one.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.